What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbos, and I'm really excited today. I have Farron Rachels on the show with me. I'm super hyped. I've been a fan of you for at least, I think I started listening to you around like, I want to say, I think this is 2020. My calendar is all messed up. I think Rule the World came out in 2020, right? I think that was my first introduction to you.
Okay,
Yeah, that's just absolute hodgepodge of a song that was so cool and had all these awesome people on there. But that was about the first time that I got introduced to you. And I was like, oh, this person's really cool. And I love finding people that, listen, I'm from New Jersey. I'm not in the realm of you find a talented singer-songwriter walking down the street. It just doesn't happen. Right. I got to do all my own digging. So it was really cool. But thank you for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and for finding me on Rule the World. It's so weird. That was only a couple years ago. That feels like a different lifetime.
Doesn't it seem like so long ago? I was even thinking about it. I was like, man, this had to come out like at least when I was in college. And then I was like, just about that time, but it could have been towards the back end. And I was pretty surprised. I was like, wow, this it goes to show you that this last 3 years, we've done a lot in the last 3 years. So I mean, I don't know, it's pretty cool, but it's also a little scary at the same time. But so for those of you who maybe are new here or new to Farron, why don't you kind of give them just a little bit of a backstory about yourself? It doesn't have to be anything crazy. I always say the Spark Notes version, the quick version, and then we'll get into all the other good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm Farron Rachels. I live in Nashville, Tennessee now. I'm a songwriter, artist. I play country music. I grew up in Georgia and I went to the University of Georgia and like had a band in college and just kind of did the cover thing until I finally moved to Nashville in 2012. And then I really started working on my songwriting because Lord, the songs I was writing before I moved to Nashville were really terrible. But yeah, so I've been here for a little over 10 years now and finally feel like I'm getting some songs cut and getting to make the music that I feel like I was really supposed to make all along. So that's
it.
Like the cliff notes.
That's the best. If that was like a good like minute and a half, that's exactly what I want. That's it.
Perfect.
Sure, and then we move on. That's it, because you know, I like to ramble, so I like to get into all the other good stuff before we do that. So you said Georgia. I'm assuming you're. Well, let me ask you this. So it's for me. I'm a sports fan, right? For me, it seems like every person who went to Georgia is a Georgia football fan. Is that 100% true? I'm sure you are, but is that 100% true that every Georgia alumni?
I mean, I don't know. Probably not. I mean, I had some friends in college that didn't go to the games and stuff, but I mean, I am. I went to
Is
every
really
game.
Into it.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years, like, it's interesting because obviously college football is on a Saturday, and when you're in a van and touring, like, I don't get to watch it like I used to, like when I was in college, obviously, so I can't like tell you who all the players are like I used to, but I'm still a big fan and we'll get pretty upset when we lose.
Well, that's all right. Listen, I think every sports fan that's passionate about their team gets upset when you lose. I mean, I was watching, I don't know. I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately. Okay. My dad grew up a Vikings fan, just kind of happened. It is what it is. And I live in Giants country, right? So recording this past weekend, the Vikings obviously played the Giants. So my brother says, hey, let's go to the bar and watch the game. And I'm like, all right. So I was like, all right, let's go. So we go, right? We're there and, you know, we watched the first game. The first game was a lot of fun. We watched, obviously, the Giants and the Vikings. First half was good. Then they started making a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of things going on. The Giants were playing a little bit better. And it was so loud. And I couldn't even, I was like, I think I'm more mad that I'm here watching this game than the fact that they're just not playing well. And they weren't even getting beat that bad. And I was like, we got to get out of here. So I had to go. And it was a heartbreaker. It's a heartbreaker because I got a lot of Giants fans friends and they love to tell me Giants won this past weekend. So
yeah,
it is what it is. But you know what I noticed? Are you a Falcons fan?
So that's the, I'm the worst. I'm from Georgia, but I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh no.
I know. Well, my family, my brother is a huge Cowboys fan. My dad and my granddad were like, it's right. just, it's like a family thing too, but I don't get as wrapped up in it anymore, but my brother still does. So I all still. Right.
Well, congratulations. Big win.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I love it. At least one of our teams is doing well, right? I mean,
I know. I don't know what to do with myself. Well.
Yeah, right. I love it. So just to kind of stay in the theme here. So you said you were in a band in college and you played that whole scene there. I think it's really interesting because where I went to school, we had like a really good music school and there's people in bands, but no one really like played out, if that makes any sense. I don't know how you can be in a band and not really play out, but no one really played out. So when people tell me they're in bands, I'm really interested because obviously, you know, it's not just you in the band. So it's like, there's obviously other influences there. So how much country music are you playing? Are you playing other stuff? And I mean, not for nothing, like the sound that you're pushing forward now is not straight up traditional country. So you have other influences in there, obviously. So, you know, like what other stuff are you playing in this band? And does that help you later on in life as you're writing songs now?
Well, I mean, back then it was really just about booking like the college bars. So to be honest, like it was just a bunch of local people that could play and wanted to, you know, and we'd play for the bar tab. And, you know, back then we were just partying and having a good time. I wouldn't give anything for those days, though, because I feel like that's where I really learned how to perform. Because if you can, like, get the attention of the drunk college kids in a bar, you know, you can pretty much work with any crowd.
Right.
So I'm super thankful for all those years, but I was really just playing covers. I wasn't really playing any of my own original music. And then when I moved to Nashville, I started to put a band together here. And it's funny, now I actually live, one of my best friends, and he's now my producer and roommate, played bass for me, like when I first moved to town. So that's really? How we met. Yeah. And now we're like, he's like my brother. So it's crazy that, yeah. But I
find it crazy that like in Nashville, especially like you can look at some of these guitar players or like, for example, your bass player is crazy. Mm-hmm. He's a producer, right? An awesome producer. Or like the random guitar player.
And all the things. Yeah.
Right. Like they're just so multi-talented. And that's what for me, if it was me, and I was an 18-year-old kid who just moved there, that's incredibly intimidating. But also at the same time, like you have so much opportunity to learn off these people, right? Because like everyone's so good and you're not the best. And there's probably, you know, 30 other people plus probably 100 other people that are just as good, if not better than you. So like you have the opportunity to learn, but you also just have the opportunity to be around all these like-minded people. And that's got to be super encouraging in its own right.
Yeah. And super inspiring. I mean, I'm from a super small town in Georgia, and a couple friends of mine like sang in the choir with me, but I was really the only person that really like cared about pursuing music that I knew. So it was nice. That was probably one of the best things about moving here is I felt like I wasn't like a black sheep anymore. Like everybody you meet writes songs, everybody you meet sings, everybody, you know, or so-and-so's dad was a tour manager for like Dolly Parton, and you get to hear these crazy stories, you know. It's like just a bunch of, I don't know, there's always inspiration around you with the people in Nashville. It's a bunch of creatives.
Yeah. Which I think is probably the best part about it. And the one thing that, you know, I think makes me a disservice if I'm up here which is also a huge reason why I started doing this was because all I wanted to do was talk to like-minded people that like the same things. Right. Cause I don't get that here. So that's all I wanted. I wanted people that just wanted to talk about the stuff that I loved because I thought that it was cool, and most people don't. So at least here, most people do, but not here. So, that's why I did it. And it's cool that it's kind of just becomes this melting pot for all the cool things or the things that we think are cool. So, I love that. And I think that that's great. Now, let me ask you a question. This is going to sound incredibly dumb and probably a stupid question, but I'm full of them. I'm full of them. My head's filled with air, so it happens all the time. You mentioned the fact that you wrote songs in college and then you moved to Nashville and the songs you wrote in college you think are terrible, right? Now, I am not a songwriter. I can't write a song. I'm not a great writer in general. So my thing is that I can't, and I've said this before, I can't even fathom the fact of putting thoughts onto a paper and making it into a song. It doesn't register in my head at all. I can't, it's not, it's like a puzzle that I can't put together. Now, like, what do you think makes a great song and why those songs weren't what you think makes a great song? You don't have to get so specific, just overarching. Like, what if you were to write a song, what would it have to have for it to be, okay, this is a great song? Because, like, I think that anything that's a true story, that's a story that you're passionate about that may or may not be true to you, I think that would make a great song. That's why I love country music. It's all about the storytelling. But I'm sure that you have a different opinion.
Or maybe. Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's like, that's the crazy thing about what we do, like, in the music business. It's all based on opinions.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if everybody knew exactly what is a hit song every single time, you know, it's like we would all write it every day, right? You know? So I just quit worrying about it a long time ago, about like what I should be writing or what people are going to like. And I just try to write stuff I love, and yeah, I try to write in the way that's honest for me, and right, just hope that some people will get it, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the whole co-writing thing is my favorite, because it's, I overthink and second guess myself enough on my own. So it's nice to have other people in the room to be like, that's great. Or like, no, that's not, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. So, it's such an interesting process.
Yeah. Does it intimidate you to co-write with, like, I'm sure you have, well, I know you have, I'm on social media. I know you have a group of friends that you write with constantly, but does it intimidate you to write with new people? Even if they're like, even if they're not like, maybe you're, I don't know if you've ever written with someone that like, maybe you're a big fan of prior to writing with them, but like, even if it's like someone new that you just happen to hear it around or something, you're like, oh, that's pretty good. I would like to give them a chance or whatever. Like, how intimidating is that as a person who is a creative? And like, you don't want someone to shut your idea down, right? Like, that's.
Yeah, it's crazy. And also it's like, I feel like I get my best songs with people that really know me the best.
Yeah.
So I've become really, I mean, some of my co-writers are like, you know, my best friends, and feel like family. So it is kind of wild writing with people that you've looked up to before you get to write with them, because the first time you walk in the room with them, it's like, I know everything about you. Right. Like, I know how many you have. I've read your book, like, you know. So of course there's like a little bit of nerves. I don't think I'd be normal if you didn't have them, but sure. I also feel like now I'm more ready. I'm excited about those writes. Right. You know, I look forward to those writes. And that's part of like, you know, when you have a publishing deal, it's part of your publisher's job is to help you like get in those rooms that make sense. Right. You know, they do a lot of, there's so much going on behind the scenes trying to put the right people together, you know, the right brains together, if you will. So my publisher is so great. So I don't get super nervous anymore because they know awesome. Me pretty well. And yeah, but in the beginning, I mean, the first time I wrote with Dean Dillon, he is like, obviously the god of country music, and wrote all of George Strait, a lot of George Strait stuff. You know who Dean Dillon is. But yeah, so the first day, the time I wrote with him, like I cried during the write. I was just like overwhelmed, and he probably thought I was crazy, but it was super full circle, and I was really nervous before that write.
I bet, but like, there's probably a confidence factor after you get out of that. You're like, oh, I'll do it with Dean Dillon, I can do it with anyone.
Yeah, I'll
bring anyone on, right? I think that's great. That's awesome. Did he tell you any cool stories? I'm curious. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we heard a few. It was me, him, and Ray Fulcher, who's a good friend of mine. And he smoked a lot of cigarettes. He like get a line, go smoke a cigarette.
But, yeah. A little break in between each line, right? You gotta just take a step out. It calms the soul. That's why he does it. He does.
It clears your head.
Yeah, clears your head. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. That's so awesome. So you mentioned your pub deal here, and I've briefly talked about pub deals with people and what they consist of and things of that nature. Now, Now, obviously, you moved to Nashville 10 years ago and you put music out in, I think the first stuff was probably maybe before that, but from what I can see, 2017, I believe I'm correct there. Maybe I'm wrong.
The first stuff. Yeah. I put out an EP independently, like not right. long after I moved to town, and it's gone. Thank God.
Okay.
But yeah, the first big project, I guess, that I did right. was 2017. Yeah.
So I'm curious as to, you know, I mean, I've met people that are kind of bushy tailed, like high and go, let's like, we're going to go and we're going to do this thing and we're just going to take the bull by the horns and see what happens. But I mean, it's always kind of interesting because like there are people, which now you can totally tell me I'm wrong here, but there was probably like what, 2 year gap before you put anything else out again. If maybe I'm wrong, something like that, right? Like two, three years, maybe a year and a half, something along those lines of, you know, something and then a single or so. Do you move to Nashville, say, I'm going to take the artist thing all the way, then realize like, okay, maybe I don't know exactly what I want in terms of sound. Maybe I got to take a step back, write a shit ton, and then go and see what I have. Because I mean, honestly, like, you know, when you move to a new place, no matter where you go, you're going to meet people. And then you're either going to be friends with those people forever or you're not. And all these influences from other people are going to, you know, help your craft. Right. So did you move there and say, I'm going to be an artist all the way? Or did you move there and say, I'm going to be a songwriter all the way? And then the other stuff just kind of came as it came.
I mean, I moved here 100% to do the artist thing. That was why I moved. And to be honest, until I moved here, I didn't really consider like a career as strictly a songwriter. I didn't think I was good enough, and I probably wasn't at the time. You know, I just hadn't thought about like getting paid to write songs. Like that wasn't, I didn't really even know about that until I moved here. But you know, just being able to pay my bills and like do music full time, pretty quick I realized like, oh, if I want to do this, I need to have a publishing deal. If I want to get my songs cut by other artists, or if I want to write with the writers that I want to write these songs for myself with, like I need a deal. So, yeah, that's why publishing deals can be important. I mean, I have friends that are getting cuts and don't have deals. It's totally a, you know, individual decision. But for me, it's like, I don't want to drive for Uber anymore, and I'm tired of nannying and all the other things that I was doing to pay my bills. So
how long did you drive for Uber for? How long?
I mean, I've done it off and on for 2 or 3 years, probably.
Now, see, at one point, I probably like 2020, I was like, I'm just going to drive Uber. I was like, I don't have a job. Most people didn't. I was like, I don't have a job. I'm just going to drive Uber. But then I thought about it, right? And I was like, man, I feel like that could be a disaster, especially if I have to like go pick people up from a bar. And listen, like I'm not sitting here I'm not an intimidating guy. I'm about 5'9". I'm a 150 soaking wet. I don't work out all that much. I drink a lot of beer. Like I am just not an intimidating guy. I'm like a lanky dude. I feel like if someone got in my car and was just pissed off for whatever reason, I don't know how I'd be able to handle it. So like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that would be so then I was like, maybe I shouldn't drive Uber. Maybe I should just go and get a normal, whatever time, part-time job, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just pay my bills. But do you have like crazy stories, or did you enjoy it?
I mean, I liked it because I could do it whenever I wanted. I mean, that was the thing. I would get up and do it at like five a.m. to 9 a.m. because people would be going to the airport the right. most then, you know, and I actually lived out near the airport then. So I would just turn it on at my house and usually be taking people from the airport to their hotel. So right. I didn't do a lot of the late night Broadway dealing with drunk people just because I was worried about like being a girl in a car alone and, you know.
And people, see, that's what you worry about. Now I worried about people throwing up in my car. but like your reason makes sense. My reason's just, like thinking way too stupid about it, but it's true, right? Like I mean,
no, you can do it. Yeah, I learned the better times for the like least annoying people, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have any crazy stories. I really didn't have any bad experiences. I have one girl that almost threw up because she was so drunk. I made her get out of my car, but that was the most exciting thing that happened.
I a few probably like I would say this was over the summer. I went to, so where I live, there's a town that's probably about 20, 25 minutes away. On the other side, New York City, I live pretty close to New York City, but on the other side, there's a town called Hoboken, which is, like a huge bar town. A lot of young people.
What a name. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like all apartments and brownstones and strips of bars and whatever. So it's only like 20, 25 minutes from my house, easy train ride in or an Uber. So this, this one time we were, it was like a Sunday, I think. And it was me, my brother and two of our friends. And we were having a Sunday fun day. And, you know, we were doing okay. And at one point I was like, I'm tired. I'm going home. My brother's like, I'm staying. I was like, then I'm leaving you. Like, I'm out of here. So I get in an Uber and I was drunk, but I wasn't like throw up drunk. Now yeah. I get in this guy's Uber and he was going, and let me tell you, these are not open roads. There are a lot of cars. Okay. There is cars in front of you. This is not Ricky Bobby shake and bake type. And he is in this car and he is flying and hammering on the brake and doing some of the most ridiculous driving movements. And I was drunk. So I was just like, whatever. But then all of a sudden I started getting like crazy car sick.
Oh,
on top of the fact that I was drunk. So I'm like, I can't puke in this guy's car. I was like, he's going to think I'm like blacked out, and I'm not. He just sucks at driving.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, what do I do? So like, I started like closing my eyes and like opening the window a little bit to get some air.
The worst.
Yeah. It's the worst. And he goes, you all right? I'm like, yeah. Just keep going. Like, we were almost at my house. We were right there. And, we're going down the street and he's flying. I live on a hill. He's flying down the hill. And I'm like, you could just pull over right here. And it's like probably a couple houses up from my house. And he goes, yeah. I said, yeah. See you later. Open the door, get out, close the door, walk right across the street to my front lawn. And I puked all in the lawn because he was the worst driver. He was so bad. It was scary. Like, I was nervous.
I've had a couple of those experiences.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But see, driving here is like, everyone likes to say that New Jersey drivers are the worst. And I'm not going to say that that's not true. I mean, we got
some pretty bad ones too. It's pretty bad.
And the traffic in Nashville is shitty too, right? So, I mean,
it's gotten a lot worse. I lived in Atlanta before I moved to Nashville. So I still feel bad complaining about Nashville traffic because it's nothing like Atlanta. But it has definitely gotten a lot worse since I moved here.
It seems crazy. I have some family in Franklin, and they always talk about the fact that the traffic is just nuts. Trying to get from point A to point B takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't have public transportation either, right? So like that probably makes it a lot worse.
There's a couple buses, but I've never ridden one.
You guys need to get like what they have in San Francisco with the what do they call those? You know what I'm talking about? The trains that are on like the wires?
Like the cable? Yeah.
Yeah, the cable trains. That's what you guys need to get. And then everyone could just take those and then you'd be good.
I know. They're going to have to figure something out because it is getting a little crazy here. But
yeah, listen, I don't know. I don't deal with public transportation anymore.
I know. I'm like, I'm not the person that needs to be in charge of that. But someone should worry about that.
I won't even get on the subway in New York City anymore. I won't even get on the subway. I stay off the subway.
I don't think I've ever been on the subway either.
You know what? I think you could live life without ever going on the subway. I promise you. Especially there. Just take my word for it. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Haven't been tempted, honestly. Yeah. I've only been to New York City a few times to play, and they've always put us in a hotel like super close to the venue where we can walk. I'm like, thank God.
Where'd you play?
The last time I played there, it was the City Winery there with Chrissy Metz. And then trying to remember, Ray Fulcher and I played a little like honky tonk bar, acoustic, like the Wayland.
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. I think I know where that is. I've never been there. I'm trying to like,
you would love it. It's cute.
I'm trying to expand but I think New York gets a bad rap. Like, I think there's a huge country music market here. We just don't have a radio station. So it's like hard to express that. But like, City Winery is a really good place to see a show. I've seen a handful of people there. Gabe Lee a couple of times. Brent Cobb was there once.
Yeah.
Steve Moakler. And those shows are great because like, one, they're, you have to understand that like, when I see country shows here, it's usually like big name people. So the tickets are a lot more. But yeah. when those guys come here, they spend like $30, $50 a ticket. It's a lot cheaper. And, you know, I can mind my business. Like for when I saw Brent here and Gabe, I sat in the back by myself, minding my business, listening to songs. I got out. It was like a $30 ticket. It was
right.
That's
so nice.
The Gramercy's great too. That's a good one.
Okay. City Winery, like I love that. I loved that tour so much because it was like a listening room. Yeah. You know, it's like so intimate. It felt like playing the Bluebird.
Sure.
But, you know, more people. But
yeah,
people were so receptive and you got to like talk about writing the song. You know, it wasn't like the drunk rowdy crowd that I'm used to.
Right. And you know what? I'm surprised because like people really fill those rooms out. Like there is a decent amount of people in there for people that I wouldn't necessarily expect to at least coming up here to fill stuff out. And it's cool. Do you enjoy doing that stuff? Is that like, would you rather get up there with your guitar than get up there with any, like with a,
I can't say that. I mean, I love songwriter rounds and like, you know, the more intimate shows, but I love playing full band. I love, I love having all the things.
I do too. I think it's very entertaining. Although I am a sucker for a sad song and a guitar, and that's about it. So I can't say I'm not. But in terms of like write arounds, this is something I just popped into my head. When, like, obviously they're very popular, but at some point they probably weren't a thing. Like since you've been there, so you've been there for 10 years, right? Have they always been a thing?
I remember the first week I moved here. It's funny that you said Brent Cobb because he was one of the writers that was playing. I went to the listening room probably like on the first Saturday night that I was in Nashville. Nice. Didn't know any of the writers. Now I know them all, but I remember Brent Cobb started playing. He was like first in the round. And I just remember being like, shit,
yeah,
I should move home. Like I just remember being like, oh, wow. Like, and then Jesse Rice played Cruise that night and before it was even out, you know, it was crazy. But so like ever since I've been here, they've been a thing. And I mean, places like the Commodore and like Belcourt Taps, what you see, the listening room and Bluebird and stuff, like, I feel like I've seen videos and stuff of like my heroes, older writers, you know, playing rounds years ago. So I think it's always been a thing.
I feel like they're just a little bit more common now, right? Like everyone just kind of is.
Well, most of the bars, I think have like wised up and realized that tourists want to hear songwriter nights. So, you know, on De Mumbry and all those bars have writers rounds going constantly.
Right. Which I think is honestly great. I actually think it's so cool. The one thing, I haven't been to Nashville in a few years and I actually made it my 2023 goal to go a couple of times. And I've been pushing it off, and not for any reason, but besides the fact that I just, life comes up and you're just like, all right, maybe not this weekend. And then you just don't do it. But I've made it my 2023 goal to go a couple of times. And I think I decided that I'm just going to plant my ass at the Bluebird and see what happens, because that's where I want to go. I want to see like Tony Arata walk in and play a song, right? Like that's what I want to do. And I think that's the coolest thing. People think I'm crazy, but that's all I want to do.
You're not crazy. You should just like get on the Bluebird, like subscribe to the Bluebird's newsletter. And when you see whoever it is playing that you want to hear, just come down for a weekend or something.
I think that it's so cool. And it's like you said, it's so intimate, and you just sit there and you just take it all in. And that's the best part. That's the best part about all of this. Like, all you want to do is take in this. Like a lot of these people, I think, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I think that the true country music fan, the country music fan that loves more than just the catchy summer song, right? Loves country music because they love everything that accompanies country music in terms of the writing and obviously the story and just the ability to take a song and change your entire viewpoint on life. I think that's the best. That's the best medicine for life in general, but I think that it has that ability. And that's why these writers rounds are so cool. You find all these people you may not even know. You might be listening to them for the first time, and their song might change your entire perspective on life. And I think that's so cool. Right. I mean,
that is so cool.
I love that. Now, I want to dive into this new project with you a little bit, because I think it's super cool. I know I told you that earlier today. And I love it. And I'm so glad you put it out and you added to some of these singles here. I think it's great. So 7 songs. It's called Crying with the Windows Down. It came out a few months ago. And it's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Three of these songs were singles prior, I think three of them. And then you added four more. Can I do math? Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. So can you just talk about it a little bit? You know, where you wanted to go with this set of songs. I know we talked about some of your earlier stuff and I've listened to the early stuff that's out and I've compared to this. And in my opinion, it's totally different, more mature, but like more of a sound that I expect. Well, that I figured you would have in terms of your writing style. And obviously I've heard a lot of your other, like I've heard all your other cuts and you have these two songs on Lainey Wilson's record and whatever. And I think that this kind of accompanies that type of writing. So can you talk about it a little bit and why these seven songs and why now? Why now in 2022, 2023?
I appreciate that. You're so sweet. I mean, to be honest, when I signed this publishing deal that I'm in, I was very adamant about just being a songwriter. And not because I don't love, you know, playing shows and stuff, but like I said, got to pay my bills. Sure. And it was just, you know, getting to that point. But some of the songs that I was writing, like Hard Headed Heart was one of them that's on the EP. My publisher, you know, they kind of were like, you don't want to cut some songs, you know? And I don't know, by then I had like fell in love with my team, the people there, and trusted them. And I knew who I wanted to produce it. And I think it just takes years, you know, or it did for me, to figure out what I wanted it to sound like. Yeah. It's really intimidating moving to Nashville. I'm not a musician myself. Like I am a very shitty guitar player, but I'm, you know, that's it.
You're probably better than me.
I don't know. So, I mean, in writing rooms, even I rarely pick up a guitar because there's 9 times out of 10, someone way better than me. So, you know, going in to record music is intimidating here. I mean, sometimes you're in studios with, you know, all these players that have played on every song on the radio right now. And I didn't really have a voice yet the first few times that I went in to record music. It wasn't anybody else's fault. I just didn't know how to like translate or speak that language, or, you know, and I was also, like I said, intimidated. I wasn't going to tell those guys that I didn't like what they were doing, you know. And I did love the EP that we put out in 2017 at the time, but I just feel like this music on Crying With The Windows Down is more reflective of who I am now and the sounds, the stuff that I'm listening to and that I love now, you know.
I think I picked up on that. And I mean, like I always say that projects are steps in life, right? And I feel like that's kind of where you're at with this. And maybe in another 5 years, you want to do something else, or 2 years, a year, whatever. And you want to do something else and you're at a whole different point and you're at a whole different batch of songs. But I mean, you're an insane writer. You're an insane writer, and I would imagine you write all the time. So I'd imagine you probably have records and records worth of songs just kind of sitting in the demo jail, right? But I think that it's phenomenal. Like I don't even know, like these three singles, and if I'm totally wrong, like I don't ever claim to be, I study this stuff, right? But I study this stuff as like a passion. I'm not claiming to be smart, but I do know. I do know that I think that all of these songs were somewhat meant to be together. And that's coming from three songs that came out originally, right? So like, I don't even know how you approach that. Like, how do you?
We weren't writing for a record. Yeah. We weren't writing, you know, those songs just all other had to be there. Was one I had written previously. And so was Cigarettes in New York City. They were two cool that I, thank you. They were two that I had loved and wanted to cut for a long time. Yeah. So when my team started talking about doing a whole project, I was like, can we please do these?
Yeah.
But the other one's just kind of like, it's weird. We talk about it when we look at the EP, we're like, it's like I was trying to write for, you know, that, but we weren't. It just worked out. So
incredible. That's so cool. Now, Sigs in New York City. That is one of the most interesting song titles that I've heard in like the last like 2-3 years, because that's so unique. And the concept of it is great, right? Like I love the concept of it, partially because, I mean, there is some relatability there, but it's like love is like buying cigarettes in New York City. I mean, well, one, it's like you can't quit, right? Like that's like and what's the line used? It's half a pack, half a heart. Is that what you say? Am I right there?
It's half a pack, half a heart. I can't quit. Yeah.
Like that's awesome. That is such a great line. And then it's expensive as hell, which is 100% true. If you go to buy anything in New York City, you're spending double of what you're spending anywhere else.
Well, that's literally how that idea came about. Actually, when I was just trying to think of where it was, the weekend that Ray and I played the Waylon in New York City, and I think that was one of the first. It was either the first or second time I'd ever even been.
Yeah.
To New York City. And like I said, I mean, I graduated high school with 12 people. So like,
no way.
Very tiny town that I'm from. And so New York City was just like a lot. And after we got done playing, I was a little drunk and I stumbled into one of those little convenience store looking things and got a pack of Marlboro Lights. And they were like, I don't even remember, maybe like $14 or something. And I was like, I said one pack and they were like, it's $14 or whatever. And I was like, holy shit. And I bought them anyway, cause I was drunk. And I walked out and I told Ray, I was like, damn, it's like cigarettes in New York City be expensive or something like that, you know? And we both kind of looked at each other and it was funny because he wanted to write it too, but we got busy when we got back to town and I had a write where the track guy kind of had that vibe going and I was like, oh, this is cigarettes New York City, so I had to write it.
Aaron, each cigarette costed more per cigarette than you had in your graduating class. I mean,
that's crazy.
It is pretty nuts. I mean, I don't smoke, so I don't buy cigarettes, but I buy things in New York City all the time. And like I was there once and I was out to dinner and a lot of these places now have, like after 2020, have like outdoor seating, but like in the streets, which makes the streets even smaller than they already are.
Yeah.
And this place that we were eating at, there's a bunch of us and we were eating outside and it was like late. So for some reason I wasn't eating with a bunch of my friends. None of us were eating. And there was a 7-Eleven right next door to the restaurant. Now where I'm from in New Jersey, you can't buy alcohol in convenience stores. You can only buy alcohol in liquor stores, which are, I don't know if it's like this in Tennessee, but I know it's like this in other places. You can buy like beer, liquor, wine, whatever you want. You can buy it all in the same store. Some places you can't, but here you can. So I'm sitting at this restaurant. There's a 7-Eleven next door. And I'm like, man, I am not spending $18 on an IPA. I like Miller Lite. I was like, I am not doing that. So I go next door to this 7-Eleven and I bought a tall boy of Miller Lite for probably $18.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm getting double what I would have gotten before, which is just the biggest horseshit. I just was trying to make it make sense in my head. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, why did I buy this? This is nuts. You ever go to Madison Square Garden and buy a beer? You know how much it costs in Madison Square Garden to buy a beer? $19.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Listen, it's I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Nonetheless, the song is really cool. I'm a big fan of it. And then my other favorite, close second, if not tied, is Crying with the Windows Down. Cause I think sometimes I'm not a very emotional man, but if I do cry, it is when I'm alone in my car.
In your car.
Usually I have sunglasses on so no one can see because he's macho. And I think that it's incredibly relatable. And
thank you.
No matter if you want to admit it or not, everyone goes through it. And everyone has songs that relate to those experiences. So I think that it's really, really cool.
Thank you.
I know I just keep saying cool, but I mean it. So
thank you. That one was, that one's funny because that is what I was saying about this music. I was telling my producers that I wanted all the songs to feel like crying, but with the windows down, like, you know, some of the lyrics are heavy or, you know, sad, but I wanted them all to move and like people to feel like they could roll the windows down and jam in their car.
Sure.
And so one day I said that to one of my producers about maybe we should just write Crying with the Windows Down. And they both were like, I think looking at me like, oh God, you know, but then the hook came and we just all got excited and wrote it. So the two guys, Rocky Block and Austin Goodlow, that produced the whole thing, wrote that one with me. So that was the first song the three of us have written together.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. So you know, like we talked about the whole, you know, you weren't sure after a while if you wanted to do the whole artist thing, and you were going to stick to writing. And so after doing this, like, does it kind of light a fire? Like, are you kind of like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. It's got it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, the pandemic and like being out of a deal for a little bit was good for me because I had to learn like to be happy without the artist thing. So it's interesting doing it now because I don't feel that like my whole world is going to end if it doesn't work. And if I, you know, if I don't ever sell out a huge arena or whatever, I don't know. My goals are just different now, but, I don't know. I just love the music I'm making. So I'm going to keep doing it as long as I love it.
Right. And isn't it weird how that works? Cause like you said, you know, like maybe you had to not be in a deal for a little bit to realize why you're really there, because, you know, like it is true. Like you do get, like, I think that people try and tell themselves like that they do it all for the music, even if they're not, because they are just trying to tell themselves that. But I think there is some truth to the fact of, yeah, I had to kind of lose it to pull back and say, wait, this is why I'm really here. And this is why I really want to do this. And to have that pressure of not having to adhere to what everyone's telling you, you probably got a million ears and ears, right? Saying like, I'll do this, do that. And you're just like, hey, I'm here because I want to do me. And now you get the chance to do you, which makes it fun again, right? So
It's been great. It's so fun. I just, the way we've made it too, like we just hang out at my publishing office and just, you know, we're like, try this. Maybe you should try the mandolin on this. Try that, you know, like Austin, one of the guys that produced it, he played everything pretty much on it, and just so talented. So like, it just felt like hanging out with my friends, making that music. So that's, I was like, best. What a concept. This is so much fun.
Yeah, that's the best, right? Like music's supposed to be fun. Like that's it. Yeah. It's supposed to be fun. So that's so great to hear. It really is. Now let me ask you, I can't let you go here without asking, because this is a big milestone. So obviously, Lainey Wilson put out Bell Bottom Country earlier this year. Lainey is just absolutely huge right now. I mean, to see that whole thing unfold is just it's just incredible. It's awesome. Now you have two cuts on this record, if I'm correct. I think I'm right. The one's gonna cost me. This one's gonna cost me. And Weekend. You know, you get that call and what's it like? I know you guys are friends, right? So it's gotta be extra special to have your friend cut your songs. I mean, that's gotta be cool too. Like if, you know, if you're going to have someone like that, so, and I mean, even if she wasn't Lainey Wilson, it's still gotta be cool anyway, but what is this experience like? Especially like when you go through and listen to the record and then you're like, oh, there's my song.
It's been great. I mean, Lainey actually just put out another one called Middle Finger. That we, it was like a Spotify special thing that came out, and we wrote.
I don't have Spotify. I'm a loser.
Oh, okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's why. But I have listened to the song.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, like we wrote that one years ago, and on my first EP, When Smoking Was Cool, she and I wrote together. So we've been writing songs together for a long time, and when we wrote the two that are on Bell Bottom Country, she had a record deal, but it wasn't. Things weren't like they are now when we wrote those songs, you know. So, and as soon as we wrote them, she loved them and she told us she was going to cut them, you know, when she could. But that's, I mean, so she never, I've always thought she would eventually, but for the timing of it all, to be on this record that is, you know, really her career has just taken off. Like, it's very exciting. And it's been so fun to watch and know what a good person Lainey is and how hard she's worked for so long. Like nobody deserves it more. So it's been,
that's awesome. Yeah. That's the one thing I think that when I get a lot of people here that ask me about this whole experience and like doing this, cause it's obviously not very, it's more common now, like where people have podcasts and things like that. But when I started doing it, like truthfully, there was one person and I didn't know he was doing it. Matt Burrell, who's actually
I know Matt.
I know Matt too. And I didn't know that anyone did. I thought I was like the coolest guy. I was like, oh, I had this great idea. Obviously I'm not, but I was like, I had this great idea.
You're doing great.
Thanks. But I was like, I have this awesome idea and whatever. I'm gonna go do it. I'm bored. It's quarantine. I got nothing to do. I got no job. Like, let's just do it. And then I find out Matt has one as well. And I was like, oh, this is a cool thing. I'm gonna dive in, see how he does it. And you know, like, just try and be my own person and be authentically me, right? And now obviously it's a thing. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that when people want to talk about this, I always say, I think one of my favorite things about this industry, and you obviously just alluded to this, is that everyone is kind of like, when you have a corner, that corner is strong. And like, these people are genuine human beings. Like, it's not like in Hollywood when you got guys that are just totally above life and they're kind of assholes. Like, I'm sure I'm sure that's a thing, right? Like, that's definitely a thing. We know that. But you know, a lot of these people become huge, but they've been doing it for so long that they're not big headed. And that's so cool to hear. Like, you're friends with Lainey. I'm sure if I saw Lainey walking down the street and I said hello, she'd say hi back right back. And if I said something, she'd have a conversation. I wouldn't doubt that, right? And I'm sure there's so many people like that. And that's super cool to hear, especially like, if you're a fan of the artist and you're a fan of the person, it just makes you more of a fan of the artist. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool to watch. Me and my friend were talking about it the other day, because it's just an interesting place to be in now in my career, because, you know, for the first several years I lived here, I didn't know anybody that wrote songs on the radio or that was on the radio. And now I get to look around and see a bunch of, like, you know, people that I remember them playing Whiskey Jam for 50 people and nobody cared, you know? Right. So it's even more fun when it's people that you love and want to see win.
I love that. I love it. That's why you do it, right? Like, it's cool to see that. And it's cool to, you know, have friends that love the same things and that are good humans and that work hard. And, you know, so that's really encouraging. Farron, what's next? Like, do you want to put more music out soon? Do you want to just hone in on the writing? Like, what is next for you in the next year or months or couple years? Or do you have any idea what's kind of going to come up?
I mean, we're talking right now about what to put out next. Like, we've started working on a few songs. I went on a writer's retreat last week with Ross and Austin. Yeah, with my producers, and got some stuff that I love. So right now we're just back to the drawing board of when and which ones. So yeah, I'm going to be teasing some stuff on TikTok just to see if anything raises its hand. But otherwise, we'll probably just put out some more songs that I love this year. And we're trying to get back on the road and trying to book shows for the summer and fall. So yeah, just, I mean, full steam ahead, I guess, with, you know, my own music. But I just feel so lucky these days. Like, I love writing for the friends that I get to write for too. Yeah. So as long as I'm making music at the end of the day, I feel really, really lucky. So
I love it. I love it. You're so cool. And you hold yourself so well, and you're just a good person. I always really appreciate that. I think that goes a long way in my book, and you know, my book really means nothing but to me.
So, that's nice. I feel the same about you. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming to hang out with me. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to see what you got coming, and you know, stay on the tracks and let the train go full speed ahead, because you kick ass. You're a great writer and you're a great artist, and it's going to be really cool. And I can't wait to say, I remember you when. So, so that'll be awesome. Everybody, you can go follow Farron on Instagram at Farron Rachels, all one word, and keep up with posts about music and shows and all that good stuff. And you can follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast if you want. Everybody, thank you for tuning into a new episode. This is the Remember Country Music Podcast. You can stream us wherever you listen to podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Give us a rate, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. I sound like a YouTuber. But this is an episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle. That's Farron Rachel. We'll see you next week. Bye bye now.